But it's true, if we have a best friend, a spouse, something we're very close to, the closer to them we are, most likely the more we communicate. Listening to how many different forms of communication, and if I went out to you all, I'd probably add in different forms too. I don't know, is there anybody that actually still writes letters and puts them through the mail? Occasionally, we got a few people. But we use a lot of different forms of communication, and sometimes it's constant communication. And we do get that feeling that if communication stops, if that person's not returning phone calls, if they're not returning text message, if there's nothing coming back, no answer at the door if we're knocking on it, we begin to worry what's going on. Is there something wrong with this person? Is there something I've done to upset them or offend them? Are they no longer my friend that this is happening? And I use this to introduce prayer, because God should essentially be our bestest friend. God should essentially be our best homie that there can be. Do I just sound like a dork if I say that? I got to put two fingers up. But God should be at that point, which means as we think about our best friend and how much we communicate with the person that's closest to us, our communication with God should be even more extreme than that. If we're thinking, wow, it's 100 text messages today, or it's 600 text messages this month, or it's 1,700 Snapchats, or how many Facebook posts, or how many letters, or how many minutes on the phone, or how long I spent on their couch with them, that what we communicate with God in a day should be even above and beyond what that is. To keep that communication so that God's not looking at us and saying, what did I do wrong that Stacy didn't talk to me today? That Stacy wasn't spending time with me, letting me know what was going on in her day, letting me know what she needs, letting me know the joys and praises of what's happening, letting me know what's going on with her today. Because that's what we do. We've got those people in our lives that we share all those things with, and God says, I want to be that one. And it's done through prayer. And so this month, we're going to spend 4 Wednesday nights talking about the ways that we pray, the 4 essential elements of prayer. And tonight, we begin that with the place that God essentially wants us to be the most, and that's in praise to God. Of how we lift up praise, realizing how amazing God is, how many blessings God has given us, the way that God is continually with us, the way that God is providing with us, the way that God is God in everything that he's done for us, and to begin that with praise upon our lips. Well, I don't know if you're like me, but I like to know step by steps. I like to know recipes. I like to know the ways to do it. I mean, I hated before I actually began studying prayer that I would get there and, okay, I'm going to pray to God, and I had no idea what to say. What do I say to the Almighty? What do I say to God? Where do I begin? Okay, dear God, that's the way, right? But where do I go from there? What do I do to take what's on my heart? What's appropriate? How do I do this? And so I've got a prescription tonight for you all. For how we praise God. I was looking and seeing over and over and over again how there's 7 Hebrew words for giving praise to God. I mean, that's how important it is that there are 7 Hebrew words that are translated into praise for God. And so we're going to jump right in and begin with the first one. And since we're learning Hebrew tonight, we can feel good feeling like we're learning Hebrew tonight. I'm going to put them up on the board for us so that we can see it. Well, the first word is yada. Can you say yada? Yada. And how many people want to say yada, 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 right? Yada. It comes from the root meaning, to throw or to cast. Now, what kinds of things would we throw or cast? Who wants to jump in? What's that? Stones. We could throw or cast stones, okay. What else could we throw or cast? Nets. Yay for being in the Bible, folks. Other things we throw or cast. We throw a baseball. Yes, we do. We cast a fishing line, right? You throw siblings. Nice job, Scott. And next week we will talk about confession, Scott. There are things we throw or cast, and what part of our body does it require in all of those to throw or to cast? Our hands. We use them whether it's one or both. And yada in praise is literally to extend or throw out one's hand in worship, right? This is a scary place to be for a lot of people. Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to put my hands up in worship. This has been one of those controversial things of whether or not we're supposed to be putting our hands up in Methodist churches. I mean, the evangelical praise movement put this up of people worshiping and praising and hands up. And I love that I read of Bishop Woody White, who's out in North Carolina, and he got approached and asked, you know, Bishop, what do you think about all these people that are putting their hands up? Should we be putting our hands up? Should we be jumping on this movement? Or should we be keeping our hands reverently in our laps where they've always been? And Woody White, it didn't take him very long thinking about it, and he responded, I'm not so worried about if those hands are up or down in worship, I worry more about what those hands are doing once they leave the worship space. But our hands are pretty powerful. I mean, our hands, we use them all the time in praise. I mean, I just got an A on that test. Give me a high five, Yaya, right? That was a horrible high five, by the way. We give high fives. We cast our hands up and we give a high five. I mean, we celebrate and our hands go up. I mean, I ran one marathon. I'm hoping number two is coming at some point. And the finish line picture of me, there was one and only one thing I was going to do. My hands were up, and I was celebrating. I made it 26.2 miles. I did it, okay? And my hands were up because I was going to celebrate. Well, our first way that we praise God is to throw our hands up to the Lord in celebration. To say, God, you are the Almighty, and I lift my hands up to you. Now, the key is these open hands, because what does an open hand say? An open hand says, I'm number one, willing to accept something, number one, right? And number two, it says, I trust you. There's an open-handedness that says, I trust you, and I'm willing to receive what you have. And so we put them up in praise and saying, God, I'm putting them up to you to give you the awe of what I have, but I'm trusting what's coming in an extension to these hands. If you look up there, the antonym, I love that word, the antonym of yada, if you see, is to, whoa, don't jump ahead of me, Scott. It's still up there. The antonym is to bemoan by wringing your hands. What happens when things go wrong in life? We stress and we worry, and this tends to be the symbol of it, right? There's something going on. If you see somebody with their hands doing this, you know something is going on with them. And this says, I'm holding on to it. I'm keeping it for me. I'm going to try to handle it myself. The opposite of taking all those worries and cares and casting them onto the Lord in praise and saying, my life is in your hands. I know you've got me. Our scripture that goes with this is from Psalm 42:5. Would you be willing to read this with me? It says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. When things happen in life, when the stresses and the worries are coming, instead of wringing your hands, I challenge you to take those hands, lift them to the Lord, and give him your praise. And say, I cast my cares up to you, and I'm open to receive your blessing and your provision. Praise number one. Well, number two is not our president, but it is Barack. Can you say Barack? Barack. Definition, to kneel down before God, to bless God as an act of adoration. Most of the time, if we see somebody getting down on their knees, what do we think of them? They're praying, could be number one. What could number two be? begging. I need something, right? It's a very humble position, isn't it? It says, I put myself lower than you because I need something from you, right? But that bowing, that kneeling can be an act of praise. For those that don't think I use notes, I do use notes, and sometimes I got to peek at them. I have a quote for this one. It says, when life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. This is, again, when life is coming up. If you're at a point where you can't lift those hands, it's just too much for them to go up. That weight is bearing down, and things are coming. The stresses, the pressures, the pain, it seems too much. Allow that pressure to be showing you where your whole body is needing to be going, pushing you down on your knees to be giving your worship and praise to God. That word of adoration, to get onto our knees to adore God for who God is and what God has done. Humility is not a bad thing. Humility is something that can be mocked. I think people got a little bit tired of Tim Tebow. But according to this word Barack, he's doing just what he's supposed to be doing. That when he gets in, instead of celebrating what he's done, to be humble before God, to kneel and acknowledge how he was able to do what he was able to do. It says in the scripture in Psalm 95:6, and you get to read with me again, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Barack is intended to be a lifestyle. It's intended to be a daily living of humility on our knees to say, God, you are our God, and I give you praise for that. That you are everything, and I am a humble human being, but I am your child, and I put my life in your hands, and I give you this glory and praise. Barack. Our next one, and let's not confuse this. It is not a type of food that we eat, but halal. It is actually the root of the word hallelujah. You know, at Easter, we love our hallelujah chorus, right? We love to have the choir sing it. I'm assuming they sing it here. Christmas. Don't we do it at Easter? Shows you whether or not I've had a choir. If I mentioned how excited I am to have a choir. But we sing hallelujah. So what are we singing when we're singing hallelujah? The root literally means to boast. Are we boasting on ourselves? Absolutely not. It is time when we are boasting on God. Its meaning is literally to be boastful in praise to the point of being foolish or mad. Do you realize that when we're singing the hallelujah chorus? That we are singing that we should be so foolish and mad and clamorous and undignified that people are going, what in the world is going on there? If you were here on Sunday, what's that?
That's how it is when I sing.
At any time I sing, people say, what are you doing? If you were here on Sunday, I told the story of David running outside praising to God in nothing but his loincloth. And he was doing just this. Halal, outside being foolish for God because he knew God deserved it. Let's think about it. A time that we're willing to be foolish. I think about Kylie and she had spirit days at cheer last week that it was called Pink Out, okay? I know all my people under the age of 20 know what that means, but Pink Out, it's for breast cancer awareness. Wear as much pink as you can. So wouldn't you know, head to toe, Kylie, pink socks, pink Spankies, pink sports bra, pink tank top, pink bow in the hair. She's going to do as much pink as possible. I mean, you got spirit days at school. Are you guys ones that go all out, I'm just going to do it? EJ says, yeah, I am. There are those times in life when we're willing to be totally foolish, wear crazy clothes to show our spirit and our support, to be totally foolish as a parent if it means putting a smile on our kid's face to cheer them up or show them that we're supportive of them. We're willing to be foolish in what we do if we're possibly going to win a prize or win money. I mean, think about how the people are on that Let's Make a Deal game show. If you watch it, I mean, they get totally foolish in the way that they dress and the way that they act, and they're willing to do it if there's an end in sight of what it's going to get them, to show spirit, to show love, to win a prize. Well, God is saying, if you're willing to be foolish for money, if you're willing to be foolish for a school, if you're willing to be foolish for your kids, be foolish for me. Be willing to get in the aisles and dance. Be willing to get crazy. Be willing to get to a point of being undignified. Because it's not being disrespectful to God to clap our hands and shout our praise and get silly in worship. It's not disrespectful. It's saying, God, I'm going to give it my all for you because you gave all for me. For this one, we needed a little longer of a scripture, and so I asked Becky if she would read Psalm 100 for us this evening. I forgot to ask Scott for a microphone. There's one that's live.
I'll just be live.
By the way, if you haven't met Becky, she's our director of young people's ministries.
I will read this because you asked me to, but everyone here has already heard it tonight because we sang it. And so many of our psalms are actually songs that we sing without recognizing that we're singing scripture. I just did this lesson with my youth in Murrieta last week. We're talking about building our foundations and studying scripture and spending time in prayer. And singing is one of the number one ways that you can remember scripture. So I will read Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation.
Thank you. When it uses the word praise in that scripture, it's using the Hebrew word halal. That when he's saying, enter God's courts with thanksgiving, enter God's house, he's saying, enter foolishly. Enter with such clamorous praise that people are wondering, what in the world is going on with them? And that the response can be, I am just joy-filled that God is in my life and I'm going to let everybody see it. Are you willing to have halal in your life? I got one more for you this evening. Shabak. Shabak. Can you say that one? Shabak. There's some song that's got Shabak Shalom in it. Somebody knows it. Well, the root of Shabak is to commend. I commend you, right? We get commendations. We know this word. This is giving God our commendation. And it's pretty specific and how we're supposed to do it. It says we're literally to shout a loud praise. First of all, can we practice this? On the count of three, I want your loudest praise to God, okay? One, two, three.
Yay!
We're going to work on this one. I mean, think about it. First example that came to my head, you're watching a Olympic soccer game, okay? And that forward's going along and kicks that ball with everything they've got. It gets past that goalie and what erupts? But the team behind that player is going to let everybody know that their team scored, right? And they're not going to do it quietly. We, in our sporting events, we get very loud. That home run that wins the game, the crowd erupts, right? I mean, you've got people that watch TV, and they're into something enough, and they're shouting and they're screaming at their TV, right? We as people, except Yaya, we as people know how to get loud. We know how to express ourselves. We know how to let people know what we're thinking and feeling and when we're excited. And God says, take all that, wrap it up, and let it out in one great shouting praise to me. He says, I want to hear it loudly. I want it for all the earth to hear. I mean, here in our scripture in Ezra, I won't make you read this one with me because it's kind of long. But it says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. Now remember, if you were here on Sunday, it wasn't King David that built it. Who was it? It was King. Oh, you guys are paying attention. I love it. Okay, so King Solomon's building it. It says, they're laying the foundations. And the priests in their vestments and with the trumpets and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good! His love towards Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They just put down the foundation. It wasn't the walls, it wasn't the completed project, but it was the sign that it was coming. That one aspect of it was done. They put that foundation down, all the stones, and then they had a party to shout and sing as loud as they could to let everybody know that God loved them. Are we willing to shout in praise? I mean, Jesus in Matthew, he says, shout with praise so loud, ready for this one, that it silences your enemies. I thought it was great to be watching a video not too long ago of some kids that were at some kind of aquarium, must have been like a SeaWorld, and there was a beluga whale. And all of a sudden, the beluga whale started getting into a shouting contest with these kids. I kid you not, these kids were staring at the glass, like little kids like mine, and they shouted, and the beluga whale came up to the glass, up to these kids, and brah, back at them, and they jumped back, and they got back in there, and they shouted, and it went for minutes of them shouting. This beluga whale is huge, but these little kids are standing there shouting as loud as they could at him. When the enemies are prowling, when they're coming down upon us, we can shrink in fear, or we can shout praises to God so loud that it silences our enemy because they realize what they're up against. That they're not up against just us, but they're up against us and the almighty creator of heaven and earth behind us. And nothing can be more powerful. To put our hands up and to shout with praise, God, your love endures forever, and I know you've got my back, and I'm going to be able to handle this. There are so many ways to praise God. And for almost anything that comes up in life, the answer can be give praise to God. It's just the question, do I need to be putting my hands up to God and lifting them and saying, here I am? Is it kneeling down and bowing before him and saying, I'm humble before you, here I am? Is it being foolish and crazy, getting back to that childlike faith, and being crazy for God? Or is it shouting as loud as we can that it silences our enemies? My friends, it's time to praise God. It's time to figure out if you need one or all of these. And this evening, we provide ways for you to practice each. If you're somebody that's needing to be lifting your hands up, the board at the back has stamp pads. You can put your hands in the stamp pads and lift them up and give your praise to God. Leave your hand up there so all can see, I have been practicing my yada. I lift my hands to God, and you can even write what you praise him for within that hand. Give him a high five. Tell him I reach up to you to receive your blessing as I praise you. If you're somebody that's needing to be humbling yourself and kneeling before God in all of the awesomeness that he is, we have space to come and kneel and be able to write your praises to God up in the front. If you're somebody who needs to shout, come on up and take the microphone. Shout it out and let everybody hear it, not to be worried. If you're somebody that needs to get foolish, if you're somebody that needs to plug back in to the childlike nature within you, we invite you to come over and do nothing else but finger paint. To put your hands in the paint and feel it in there, and then there within the paint, write your praises to God. But I'm one that always knows that there's sometimes when we do need to lift what's going on, that it can't always be praises. And so the prayer table will always be open on quad Wednesdays, and it will be here on Sundays too. If you're needing to light a candle to send a prayer to God to lift up for a particular person, it's not a Catholic thing. They're the ones that do it the best. They're the ones that are the most obvious with it. But come and light a candle and shine a flame to say, God, here's presence that needs to be happening in this life.